Out of game, Kurt.
Cody. Hey,
Cody. So I'm going to take a moment to get out of my own way. Because God knows I don't want to be up here that night. Alright, so again, I'm an addict named Cody, and I was asked to come to this event and speak on the Just For Today. So I have this uncanny ability since I came into Narcotics Anonymous that I ask people for help, right? Because I didn't know how to do it on my own. So like when I asked my sponsor, like, what do I do when people ask me to speak? He said, you say yes. So like, I got a phone call the other night. Actually, I made a phone call and I was talking with someone that, because I can't make decisions real well on my own still. Like, so I call some people before I make any life-changing decisions or what I think is impacting, right? So I call him up. He's like, yo, I ain't really got time to talk. You got the willingness to speak? So that's how this is. And now I'm here. So, like, of course I said yes. I get a phone call back about 15 minutes later, and he's like, yo, I can talk to you now. Oh, yeah, your topic's, like, just for today. And I'm like, from the basic text? Or are we doing it from the daily meditation? He goes, yeah, right? So we're just gonna roll with it, right? So in the basic text, it talks about honesty is the antidote to my disease thinking. So like when I'm sitting here before you today, I have to be real brutally honest. Like this is one thing in Narcotics Anonymous I do not have an overwhelming joy to do, but I love giving back. You know what I mean? So like I'm breaking my cycle. I'm trying to do things a little bit different because, you know, my way didn't work. All right. So as I stand before you and get honest, like if you go to hug me after I get done speaking, I'll be soaked in sweat. I'll be shaking. My voice will probably crack like I'm going through like early stages of life, going into manhood. You know what I mean? Because like that's just who I am. Right. I say that to get out of my own way, just like I pray before every time I get up in front of people and give my lead. So I cannot talk out of the basic text without, like, you know, on the Just For Today topic, without bouncing back and forth, right? So I'm going to be talking a lot about my first three steps. I'm also going to be talking about the triangle of self-obsession, and I will bounce around sporadically, right? So, like, I have a lot of issues, like, so when I went through my first step, like, I admitted my powerlessness, right? And I didn't accept it, right? Through time and more of being revealed to me, I started to realize, like, I admitted, like, I had a problem with substances and stuff. But, like, in the very beginning of my early stages of recovery and stuff like that, like, I didn't realize what powerless really meant. Like, I was like, I can't put certain substances in my body and continue to live life because I didn't know how to live life with or without, like our literature talks about. Then I realized, like, I am powerless over everything in this world except for how I respond to it. That's just my experience. Again, everything I share with you today is just my experience through my step work, through the journey that I've had in Narcotics Anonymous. So if it doesn't align with yours, I apologize, but that's just all I got to share with you guys. You know what I mean? So, oh man, so like I've been like having these overwhelming senses just recently of how powerless I really am, right? And I don't like it. And that's when the acceptance piece comes into play for me, because I don't have to like it to accept it, right? And like I try to go through these things, like I have this weird thing in my head where I make lists, and it's like a priority list, you know? And I try to plan out my whole damn life. Like I got clean and I decided, like, holy hell, like I've just been footloose and frolicky out here for so long, like I need to plan some things out. Well, the God of my understanding's plan is completely different than the plan I put out on paper or in my head, right? So I learned just for today, that's all I need to worry about. What I can do today and the next right thing. Now, I still try to, like, when the Narcotics Anonymous asked me to speak today, I didn't plan anything else on this day, right? But, like, that's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is, like, I want to try to do the next right thing and the 10 right things after it before I even get involved with the first right thing I'm supposed to be doing, right? And the reason I say that is because I read the Just For Today before I came up here and spoke today, and it was talking about exposure to light, right? Because I got some secrets deep-seated inside of me that, like, sometimes I realize and sometimes I don't, man. And, like, I don't like revealing myself to a lot of people. But, like, I've been talking through this process that, like, vulnerability breeds intimacy, and that's the key foundation for all relationships, right? So as I build relationships with people in Narcotics Anonymous, sometimes I expose myself and sometimes I don't, but I try to remain transparent at all times, right? Because, like, I have this thing, and it's called self-obsession. Excuse me. So, I have anger, resentment, and fear, and I've learned through this process that the antidote is love, faith, and acceptance. So, I remember going over my third step with my sponsor, and, like, you know, so we do this thing, and it's talking about find three spiritual principles that are distilled within the step that you recognize, right? And then we'll talk about it after we go over your step and everything. So, like, I'm sitting there thinking, and, like, as I go over my third step, one of them that popped up was faith, right? And I was having faith in the Narcotics Anonymous program, faith that this is my way and the only way that I can live my life on a daily basis, one day at a time, right? But I didn't know if I had faith in my sponsorship, right? And I needed him to guide me through this process. So I'm sitting there, and it's kind of a funny story because I'm sitting there about to go over it, and I'm like, I can't tell him faith. Like, so now I'm contradicting myself while I'm sitting there trying to be honest. And in this process, like, he gets up to go use the restroom. And as the process continues to go on and everything else, like, he's like, yo, I gotta go to the restroom, I'll be right back. And as soon as he stands up, it was one of them aha moments. Like, I don't have crazy spiritual awakenings, but, like, this was one of them. Like, he gets up and he goes to walk away, and right behind him is the Just for Today on the wall, right? And it says, I have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Like, boom. You know what I mean? That was my higher power talking to me in that exact moment. And I got brutally honest with him. I was like, yo, up until you just went to the restroom and did whatever you did, like, I didn't have faith in you, but I do right now. You know what I mean? I got rigorously honest with him in that moment. I wasn't scared anymore because, like, for me, it was like, I go through my step work, and as soon as I finish a step, I don't read over that. Because, like, I kind of have this defect of mind that is like a perfectionist, right? I never did anything perfect in my entire life except from when I came to Narcotics Anonymous. I haven't put a chemical in my body since that day. But still, I don't, if they'd have told me you had to have a perfect, coherence to these principles, I'd have walked right the hell out the door, right? So, like, I try to practice them in my daily affairs and to the best of my ability. And as I go through that process, man, it's been a journey. But, like, so I got honest with him and everything else, and we've built a great relationship since that day, man. It's been a process because I have little faith in myself, man, and I've learned to build self-esteem in here because there's these things in my life that, like, I have obsessive and compulsive disease that attacks me at every single angle. And that's what, like I said, I'll bounce around. That's what I was talking about in the very beginning, is like I came in here and people were like, oh, I'm clean. And, like, yeah, man, like, but, like, my piss didn't get any cleaner from the first day I was clean till today. But, like, my spirit gets cleaner as I follow through this process, right? So as I'm formulating myself through this step work and through this thing, man, is like, you know what I mean? I'm learning to live clean through this program. I'm learning to do the next right thing. Before, it was like a prudence thing, right? So, like, prudence is defined as good judgment. And now it's discernment, right? Because, like, I used to look at my sponsor before I made every decision. Like, my first sponsor is no longer part of the fellowship, which is okay because I, you know what I mean? I outgrew that relationship and I moved on because, like, I'm responsible for my recovery on a daily basis. And for that day, I had to learn to move on. So, like, I started a new relationship. My first sponsor, like, that poor guy. You know what I mean? Because I was like, what side of the toilet paper do you use? He's like, I don't care. Wipe your ass. Excuse my language. But that's what he said. You know what I mean? Because that's how sick I was in the beginning. You know what I mean? And, like, through the process, I've learned to use discernment in making good judgment, right? Like, I don't know. I don't look at the coach every time I go to make a shot and ask him if it's all right to shoot the ball. Sometimes I just got to make decisions. And what I've learned through this process, living one day at a time, is, like, so the other day, this is just a life experience of mine. This happened within the last week, right? Is I had a Narcotics Anonymous commitment to fulfill, but I get a phone call because I'm on call at work. And I had to make a decision in that moment, right? So I went to work, and then I beat myself up over it. because like I failed Narcotics Anonymous in my mind, and that's my disease, man, talking to me. Like, you can't even fulfill a commitment that you're responsible for once a month. So now, like, my brain tells me I'm not good enough to be in Narcotics Anonymous. I need to drop all my commitments because I can't hold on to them, or I just need to quit work, which both of them are unrealistic, right? You know what I mean? I can't live without Narcotics Anonymous, and I have to have a paycheck. And, like, if I'd have told them, hey, man, I got this thing, and I took a commitment for Narcotics Anonymous, and you can, whatever you got to do, man, but I ain't coming into work, I wouldn't have had a job. So, like, I had to make a decision in that moment, and I made a decision, right? And then I have a hard time living with it, right? Because in that moment, that was the right thing to do, so I think, right? And I learned through this process. And why I bring that up is because I only live one day at a time. I make one decision at a time. And I made a decision, and then I beat myself up for it to this day. And it's been like the last week, every single day. I had to call people in Narcotics Anonymous. Did I make the right decision? What was it, the right decision in the moment? Because sometimes we make decisions, and later on we find out they're not the right decision. But as long as you're doing the next right thing, that's all that matters, man. So I made that decision, and I live with it. And that's where, like, in the very beginning, what I was talking about is, like, you know what I mean? I live just for today. So therefore, when I make a decision and I have to live with it, I'm powerless, right? Over how the results end up. There's like this, like, whatever I believe in, you know what I mean? It, like, the God of my understanding has this formula. And some days I try to rack my brain and try to figure it all out. And that's not my place, right? What my place is to do the next right thing and what it maybe aligns up with him. And if it doesn't, guess what? The map's already drawn for me. I just got to do the next right thing and the next right thing. You know what I mean? And that's how simple it is for me on a normal basis. But sometimes I still get trapped in my triangle, man. Like, I get so angry at times. And then I realize that, like, maybe I haven't, like, prayed in enough today. Maybe I haven't meditated enough today. Maybe I haven't been of service enough today. Like, I try to hit these avenues that, like, you know, that we talk about, that's like the key of our symbol, right? God, self, service, and society. It means a lot to me because, like, that symbol saved my life. And one day at a time is saving my life. Like, I don't speak too much on my clean day. And you know, if you have a question of it afterwards, you can talk to me about it. But, like, I woke up today and I'm clean.
I'm sure.
By the grace of God and this fellowship. That is the only way I stay clean, one day at a time, just for today. And I've been learning to expose myself, like, you know what I mean? When I'm going through trials and tribulations, like, I have to tell some people, right? That don't mean I gotta get honest with everyone, but I do need to get honest, because that's the only way I stay clean, one day at a time. Like, sometimes I'll project myself to the future, like I'm gonna be staying clean forever, but, like, I don't know if that's even realistic. And that's an overwhelming thought in and of itself. So, it's crazy, like, this chapter covers so much, like, you know what I mean, about how I live my life, but, like, the reality is, man, like, all I gotta remember is, like, I will live one day at a time, man. And, like, that honesty piece in there helps me out tremendously through my process every single day. Like, I give you a little backstory about me is, like, I grew up in a great home, man, and I live a great life today, but it's only through this fellowship and making one decision one day at a time, man. I've had a lot of opportunities given to me. When I first got into recovery, it was wild, man, because some people get some things back in Narcotics Anonymous, like material things, and that's wonderful, right? That's not part of my story in the very beginning. I did not get material things back. Like, honestly, I chose, and I was very fortunate. I had some good people in my life. And they said, man, all you got to do is just don't get high. And I was like, all right, cool. So I jumped into this fellowship and everything else, and I started to live my life one day at a time because I was taught that way from the very beginning. don't use no matter what, right? And I did all the suggestions, 90 meetings in 90 days. I got a sponsor, I got a service, and all those wonderful things. Step work, huge part of my recovery, right? Because, like, I don't attend as many meetings as I did when I was first clean, like when I first got here, but I do attend meetings still. But I also understand that, like, throughout this process, like, you know what I mean? Like, we get some things back. But what I did gain was, like, some spiritual buoyancy in the process because I didn't go to work. I didn't have anything else to do. Like, I live in a rural area. I'm part of the Laurel Mountain Highland area of Narcotics Anonymous, and we live in a very vast landscape. So, like, I would get dropped off places at, like, 6 in the morning, and, like, I wasn't blessed with a driver's license when I got here and all that stuff. So, like, I'd walk around towns all day, and, like, I would sleep on steps in front of Narcotics Anonymous meetings, like, real homeless-like, right? But, I mean, I had a place to go, but that's what I did for my recovery. And the reason I bring that is because, like, it's the rudimental fact of, like, the basics for me, right? So, like, I know this is my home. Like, I'll sleep on the steps of a Narcotics Anonymous meeting till they come in, like, someone kicks me and goes, yo, you definitely belong here. We're opening the doors and making coffee. Like, yeah, thank you. I need that in my life today. You know what I mean? And that's how my, and, like, throughout it all, so, like, that was ingrained in me, is, like, no matter what, like, I'm going to stay clean. Today, I guess I got some things back a little bit. Like, I have a job. I'm employable. I walked in here and I was a derelict, a degenerate. Like, my own family didn't want anything to do with me. So, like, and that's just part of my story, you know what I mean? So, like, today I got a job, and one day at a time, man, expressing through these principles of Narcotics Anonymous and being honest with some people, like, you know what I mean? Like, I've been granted some opportunities to get some material things back. And, like, when I say material things, like, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania allows me to drive a car today. Like, that's an amazing feat for me. You know what I mean? Like, they said, Cody, you're allowed to drive. I said, you got the wrong guy. You probably should never let me drive again. And they were like, no, it's that time. You know what I mean? I was like, okay, cool. So, like, there's some blessings that I've gotten along the way. But, like I was saying just a little bit ago, one day at a time, man, and, like, doing the next right thing and building my spiritual self, because, like, in our literature it talks about, like, we're spiritual beings by nature, right? But I didn't know what the hell that meant, and I still don't someday, you know what I mean? It, like, I'm starting to reveal some things about myself, but it just means that, like, I wasn't always a scumbag. I just did scumbag things, and that plays a big role in, like, the disease of addiction. So, like, as I stay clean, like, living clean means a lot to me. Living clean has given me opportunities that I never thought were possible. Like, I have relationships with people. I have very intimate relationships with people. When I get on the phone with them and I can call them on a daily basis and talk to them, like, that is an amazing thing. You know what I mean? Like, because, like, I don't know about you guys, when I walked in the rooms in Narcotics Anonymous, I wasn't really, my vocabulary wasn't there. So, like, when people started talking about being intimate, I didn't know what that meant. Like, I understood it didn't mean I had to have a romantic relationship with you, but I didn't know what intimacy meant. And, like, today I've had that. You know, building a relationship one day at a time, man. Being honest with these people one day at a time, man. And, like, I built a course system in Narcotics Anonymous that, like, they don't allow me to, they don't co-sign a lot of BS, man. Like, they tell me when I'm doing right, and they tell me when I'm doing wrong, and they tell, and, like, when I call them for suggestions, like, they give them to me, whether I want to hear it or not. Most of the time, I don't pick up the phone, because, like, I already know that, like, the suggestion I'm about to be given is going to hurt, you know, and I've driven a lot by fear, you know, like I was saying earlier about the triangle, man. Like, so a lot of times I will not act on something in fear that, like, I may not know what the outcome is, or I may think I know what the outcome is. And again, man, that's, like, that's not having faith, man. That's not having acceptance of life's going to play out the way it's going to play out, man. And, like, I just needed to realize that for myself. But, like, more is always revealed to me on a daily basis. Like, I cannot express to you how much I love this program. And every, like, so I'm finishing up my fourth step right now, right? Because, like, I'm not a speed demon at step work by any means. It's just where I'm at. And, like, I'm fearful of finishing up my fourth step because I'm going to have to take my fifth step, right? And that's just me being honest with you. I don't know if I want to sit down and have a talk with another addict. I don't know if I want to tell God, like, of my understanding of what's going on in my life. Like, I don't know if I want to say it out loud so I have to hear it again. Like, and that's scary to me, but I push through it. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not being stagnant on my step work, but, like, it's been a painful process, man. And, like, I'm not a speed demon at my step work, but I'm applicating the principles within the steps. Like, that's what I can tell you about what this program does for me, man. Is like, I can put, like, I found myself the other day sitting down and I was writing on my step work and I realized I was lying. And I was the only one in the room. I'm literally writing, and I was like, I sit down, I don't pray in, by the way. You know what I mean? I grab my step work, I go to write down some stuff, and I got about 12 words in, and I was like, I'm not supposed to erase anything, but I definitely have to edit that. So I just crossed it out, left it there, and wrote above it, this was all a lie. 12 words. You know what I mean? And continue, like, another day when I could be honest with myself, you know, honest with God on continuing my step work. You know what I mean? Because that's sometimes where I'm at, man. Like, I didn't get clean, and all of a sudden, like, I thought getting clean would just solve all my answers. And when I say clean in this aspect, I mean taking the substance off the table. Now I realize it's just one symptom of my disease. My disease attacks me at all different angles. And as I go through this process, and the more I learn about myself, the more my disease talks to me in my own voice and attacks me. You know what I mean? And that's when, like, the fellowship comes into place for me, because, like, I can't do this alone. Like, I have to have you guys having my back. And whenever I ask a question, like, I don't put people around me that cosign all my craziness. Because, like, if I sit there and ask you something and you say, yeah, man, that's a great idea, like, I will be like, oh, there it is, and I'll run with it and not call anybody else. You know what I mean? So when I called my sponsor and I was like, yo, man, I was lying on my step work. He's like, you praying? No. Okay. So you didn't even introduce God into the subject and you decided to put pen on paper. He's like, how far did you get? I said 12 words. He's like, I'm glad you recognize it. You know what I mean? Because, like, I do crazy stuff, man. Like, I was writing on it, and when I first started my fourth step, like, maybe some of you guys understand, is, like, went through my resentment portion, right? And I called my sponsor. I'm like, yo, man, my list ain't long enough. He said, what's that mean? I said, my list ain't long enough. He's like, compared to what? I said, probably to other people. He goes, okay, go ahead and ask everyone else that has worked a fourth step for their resentment portion. You work that for them, and then when you get done working their fourth step resentment portion, you come back to me and let me know how that worked out for you. Like, that's the type of stuff I need, man. You know what I mean? Because, like, that's just where I'm at in my life. You know what I mean? So then I get to relationship portion, and my list is forever long. I suck at relationships, and I realize that today. You know what I mean? So it's been a process, man, for me in this journey. But, like, you know, all I got to remember is, like, I have people in NA who believe in me. Like, I came into this program, and I know, like, I'm kind of off topic, guys, but this is just what's flowing through me right now. Is, like, I showed up in my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting to prove Narcotics Anonymous didn't work. That's my story. And I showed up at the door, and I was 30 years old, and I remember my mom took me to this meeting because I'm fresh off the streets, you know what I mean? And I show up at the meeting, and I walk up, and the doors are closed. Change the time. So I walk back to the car. My mama says, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to get high. She's like, no, you're not. I said, look, we have one of two options. You either let me out of the car now or you drive me to get high. She says, okay. I think she's going to take me to go get high. Right? She floors it. Doesn't stop at any red lights or stop signs the entire way. We broke so many laws that night. And she drops me off in another meeting. She said, you're going to stay in that meeting until it's over. When I see other people come out, that's when I won't run you over with this car. You know what I mean? She ain't one of us, but, like, she knew she was going to hit me with that car that night, and I knew she was pretty serious. I didn't play with her on that note. So I was like, okay, so I walk into this basement thinking there's a back door. There's not. We're in a basement. I only got one way out because, like, it sucks. You know what I mean? So I walk out of that meeting, and that first... Let me tell you about believing in someone in NA. So my first sponsor walked up to me after that meeting and didn't say a single word. He goes, I've never seen you before. Gives me a hug and he tells me he loved me. And that changed my life, man. That simple hug. Some man telling me he loves me. And it was the difference between me giving it my all and giving up in that exact moment, because since that day I've been clean. You know, by the grace of God in this program. Because somebody had done it for him. And I asked him, why you do that? They say, because now you done got me all jacked up. And I, you know, I feel weird about going to get high tonight. he said, call me. When you get home, call me. You know what I mean? And that started to formulate relationships, something that I'm struggling with in my life heavily today is just relationships, man. And it's funny, man, because like I have relationships with some people today and in my family. And that's just one of the many blessings that I never thought would happen. My dad and I get along today. Like my dad, I didn't realize how bad that affected him. You know what I mean? He was like a man of steel. But like, you know what I mean? Through this program, my dad will look at me and I'll say something to him. He's like, he used to ask me, how long do you have clean? And I just tell him, just for today, Pops. And he's like, that's all that I need from you. One day, man. He goes, and I hope you tomorrow you wake up and you say the same damn thing to me. And that's why that just for today is so important to me, man. It's not that hard when I break it down like that. It's not that hard to stay clean, man. For me today. You know what I mean? It's hard as shit for me to live clean. It really is. Like, it's hard for me not to act all crazy out here and like act on some like non-existent virtues that the literature talks about. Some hateful stuff. Like, I still think about craziness and I'm so self-obsessed. Like, I had a situation the other day and this girl goes off on me about a certain situation, and I'm thinking, you know, do you know me? Do you know who I am? Like I'm somebody, right? But I'm so self-obsessed, that's what goes through my head. And then I think about it, I'm like, damn, she might be going through some real stuff right now, and I don't need to engage in that and bring that chaos into my life. But I'm still like crazy. I'm still like thinking I'm so important that like the whole world revolves around me. And like, and I still like, and I mean, I ain't no thuggish dude or anything like that. And I've lost more fights than I've won. But like, I still act crazy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I used to think I was really cool when I walked around a corner and I thought I could get stabbed up that night, right? I used to be like, damn, I'm brave. That's not courage. That's desperation, right? Literature taught me that. Today, courage is going through something that I'm fearful for, because like, I don't, and I'll just touch on this and I'll stop, but like my four step confused the hell out of me. Fearless moral inventory. And I'm scared to death of it. I'm like, no, hell no. Like, I'm about to take a fearless moral inventory of myself and I'm scared to death. Like, so I called my sponsor about that, and he goes, yeah, man. He goes, that's the way our literature is written, but courage is not the absence of fear. It's pushing through it. So, you know what I mean? Like, today, standing in front of you today, I'm fearful. You know what I mean? But, like, that, I'm pushing through it. Working on my fourth step, I'm pushing through it. Every day that I wake up and I think, like, because my disease will tell me this, man, and I'm not too proud to admit it, that you don't need Narcotics Anonymous anymore. That's how my shit talks to me today. You don't need it. You're clean. You're stable as far as like social acceptability goes. Like, you don't need Narcotics Anonymous. And that's when I reach out to people. And they, I'm like, how do you do it? How do you do this every day? How did you stay clean for whatever amount of time, another day longer than I did? You know what I mean? To this thing. And it comes back to the step work, man. Like, that's some second step stuff. That's some third step stuff. You know what I mean? Faith in this. Trust. You know what I mean? Willingness to continue to push forward, even when I don't want to. Because there's days I don't want to be here, man. There's day, and like, and I can be honest about that today. Because, like, I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but if I don't get honest with you, I will continue to feel that way. So when I, you know what I mean? Like, when people ask me, did you feel like using today? You're damn right. Like, I used to have this chip on my shoulder and like not want to say that in a meeting. I'm like, well, I put a couple days together and I, you know, now I got this pride and this ego, because it even says in the Just For Today chapter, our egocentric selves, right? Like, that was me. And now I got clean and I have this ego about me that like, if I tell them I want to use, maybe they'll question my clean day. Hey, who gives a fuck? Excuse my language, but who cares if they question me? I didn't know any of you before I came in. Like, and when I was using, I really didn't care who knew I was using. But today it's like about me surviving. Like, because like, I, this program is not for me, it's not anything else short of like a way to live. You know what I mean? I had life and I had death. And like I told you, when Narcotics Anonymous and the people practicing the spiritual principles distilled within Narcotics Anonymous came to me, because like one of my greatest things that ever happened to me was that hug and that love that I was expressed, because that's what it talks about in the Just for Today chapter, is like I was so alienated and I was so isolated that like when I walked into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, they said, "You're a member when you want to be a member, and you're not when you don't want to," but I was part of. Somebody wanted to include me in something, and they didn't ask me for anything. Just the fact that I just sit down and like, have a seat, man. You earned your seat. And that was the craziest thing in the world to me. And then I was like, maybe they got some shit figured out. I'm not really sure, but I'm gonna stick around. I'm gonna keep coming back. And like, I'm gonna, you know what I mean? Have a whirl at this, because what do I have to lose? And today, Narcotics Anonymous has given me a life that I can't put words on. And I don't have a lot. But I do have my, I do have relationships. And I do have an understanding of what I believe in today. And it changes. Like, I have a concept of what my higher power is. It was the energy flowing through these rooms, and it's developed more as I stuck around. Like, me sitting down in the room and the transfer of energy and those hugs and stuff like that was my higher power for the longest time. And now today, I've formulated my own beliefs and stuff like that. And you know what was cool is, like, when I talk, sometimes I get with members after the meeting or before the meeting, because I show up early and I stay late because I was taught that. And I talk to people about what I believe in, because they'll ask me about it or what my experience is on it. And it does not align with theirs. And they still accept me. They still hug me. And that's the coolest thing about it, is like, you know what I mean? And every day that I stay in Narcotics Anonymous, like, I ask those questions. You know what I mean? Instead of why, I ask how. It's simplicity of this program that keeps me continuously coming back. But it's like the elaborate thinking, because we're some real deep thinkers in here, man. But I honestly know that in my heart today, like, just because, like, I will confuse the fact that I have a big heart, you know what I mean? Because, like, I don't know, but, like, I talk to a lot of different addicts, and pretty much 90% of the people I communicate with on a daily basis is in this program. And, like, we have big hearts, and we're empathic, and we feed off each other's energy. That's just my experience with the people I've met here. But that doesn't mean we're not self-obsessed. For me, like, in general, I'm self-obsessed. So I can love the hell out of you and do anything for you, and the whole time be thinking about myself. And that's a disturbing thought. But, like, I'm learning to grow through that. I'm learning what selfless service is. I'm learning that none of, like, the ego trips that I take myself on are not healthy for who I am today. And that's all I got. Thanks for letting me share, guys.
Thanks for sharing, Cody. I'd like to introduce the second speaker, Cheryl C. from Morning Hope Dealers Group of Narcotics Anonymous in the Dual Corridor Area of NA.
Let's tell the truth. Hey, everybody. I'm an addict. My name is Cheryl.
Hey, Cheryl.
Since I came reeling in here on three wheels, I missed the prayer. So join me. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. All right, so my clean date is May 9th, 2006. I'm probably gonna cry, I'm not gonna lie. And I need to, like, tell you straight up, I compare myself all the time. And while I'm walking around back there trying to get centered, I'm like, what am I gonna say that's different than what he said? Like, he just sat up here and told my story about, you know, like, I learned in working the fourth step that you definitely pray. You have to get up and use the bathroom before you start to write again. You pray. And I know the topic is just for today, but, like, I'm trying to find the similarities instead of the differences, right? Because I came in here, I got clean in Butler, and there's a lot of differences between me and the people in Butler, right? So I stood out, and I was, marginalized. I was of a marginalized group in Butler, and it was real obvious. So I worried, like, can I get clean here? How am I gonna do this? But the truth is, like, I'm a chameleon. I'm a good friggin' addict, man. And I'm gonna come in and, you know, like, oh, is this the music you like? Whatever music you like is what I like. You know, whatever books you like, I like. Whatever, what's your favorite color? That's the color I like, right? And I used the skills that I had obtained in managing my addiction to, as a foundation for my recovery. You know, I went to meetings. People going to meet, are you going to that meeting? I'm gonna go to that meeting too. You gonna read that reading? I'm gonna read a reading too. And I fell in and used that same chameleon energy and got with some people that were doing what they're supposed to do in this program. Just for today, I'll be unafraid. There's not a day that goes by that I'm not afraid. I'm afraid all the time of everything. Like, I did not come in here to accomplish the things that I've accomplished in recovery. Like, my life is just a byproduct of not getting high. Like, instead of paying adult man's electric bill, like, I can pay my own, right? Instead of paying adult man's car note, I can pay my own just by living this program. But, like, 2 weeks ago, I was granted my license as a professional counselor. Like, I did not sign up to get a career and a house and, you know, to do the things that I'm doing in my life. I want to be a substance abuse counselor, right? I'm a mental health counselor. But it's like, this is the whole dream that I had when I started this process is, if I had written it down, the literature tells us if I wrote it down, I'd have sold myself short. Because my life is so much more than I could ever imagine it could have been right now. Like, I have a relationship with my sons again. I have a relationship with my family again. And, you know, it's not the nevers that I'm afraid of. Like, that fear, that daily fear that I had, it's the agains. It's the being homeless again. It's the being not just unemployed, but unemployable again. Like, those are the things that cause me fear on a daily basis, but I rise to the occasion and I follow the basics. And one of the things that I've learned, if I stick to the basics, I never have to go back to the basics, right? So I read my literature and I stay in contact with my sponsor, and probably not as much as I should, you know, but who can say? I do it enough for me, and she don't complain. So she tells me the sponsor-sponsee relationship is what the sponsee makes it. You know, I'm giving to her. It's a two-way street, of course, but she gives me what I need. And I accept it willingly. And when she makes a suggestion, I take the suggestion, not because I want to, but because I can't see past my nose on most days, right? I don't know what I'm doing. I haven't ever been clean on August 28th, 2021 before. So this is all new. You know, this is new territory. I came in. I got high all over Philadelphia. I got to Butler, and I started doing what the people around me were doing. And I had several opportunities to make a choice for this way of life, and I took them, each one that came my way. The first one was, you know, I'm going through the motions, I'm going to meetings, I'm dragging people to the podium to make them, that you won't read, because this reading will keep you clean, you know what I mean? I'm bullying freaking NA Ranger, right? And so when I came in and I like got, you know, healthy, I went to the doctor and I got on some meds and I, you know, got my asthma addressed. I thought that, you know, all this coughing I was doing after when I ran out of dope was just because I ran out of dope. I thought I was in withdrawal, but no, I had developed asthma as a direct result of my using. But the medication that the doctor had given me, I gave me an allergic reaction. So I was working on a 90 and 90. I was in an outpatient treatment, and I had this allergic reaction, went to the ER. And there, I was able to make a decision because the nurse shot me up with some stuff to manage the allergic reaction, but that shit got me high. Right? I was freaking high for about 20 minutes, like straight up, dead ass, tripping, and my guy was so mad. And he was scared. He was scared that it was going to trigger me to go back out. But in that experience, I had the chance to choose between this ceiling that looked like fireworks and a pink ribbon, like, right? And then what I had come to know of Butler recovery, like I'm looking at it through the wrong end of a telescope. And I can see that getting further away, and I can see this dissipating already, and it's like, I can't hold on to this, I better go after that. And I was able to make the choice to pursue a life of recovery. Another thing, you know, where the just for today comes in, like, I'll try to get a new perspective. So we already know if you, you know, stay in touch with people, stay in contact. Fill your phone up with phone numbers, even if it's somebody you might not like. You can't choose who the message comes from. I can't choose who I help or who helps me. Somebody that I don't even want to hear might have the solution that I need to apply in my life. And I need not be, like, picky. I got to give help and receive help wherever it comes from. So we have been living in this, my guy and I have at the time, he's since passed. Clean, but still. So we were living in this house, and I was going through some old stuff, and I came across some works. And I was like, oh my God. So immediately I called my sponsor. No answer. I called like four other people. No answer. I called him. When you coming home? No answer. Okay? I'm sitting here with this load of works in Detroit. I'm by myself. And it was a dead time. Like, the literature kicked in. I got rid of the stuff, put it in the trash, went about cleaning the house, but I started ruminating on it, right? And I kept thinking about it, so I took it out to the dumpster and got rid of it all together. And when after I took care of it, like 2 hours after that, then my phone's blowing up. Everybody's like, oh, what's up? Yeah, you all right? And I'm like, fuckers. Like, I had to get through this shit by myself. But how about, you know, what I recognize is I wasn't by myself. You know what I mean? And there's times when there is going to be nothing between me and a bad decision but God, my higher power. Like, I have a responsibility at that point. I never recognized in my addiction that he gave me a choice. He always gave me a way out. And I didn't see it because it looked hard. Like, I don't want to go feel those feelings, and I don't want to have a job. It ain't nothing wrong with having a job. It just takes 2 weeks to get paid, right? Like, I can't wait for it. I need money now, right? And you know, I've learned to adopt several things from my addiction into my recovery today. You know, I used to say, I can quit anytime I want to. I just don't want to. Well, today, like, I can get high anytime I want to. I got, like, savings, and I got credit cards and cash advances and shit. I can get high. I don't want to. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need to run from. There's nothing for me to run from. Even though some days I am riddled with fear. You know, am I really a good counselor? Am I really a good girlfriend? Am I really a good friend? Am I a good sponsee? Am I a good sponsor? You know, people are putting their lives in my hands in various ways, seeking my support. And I don't know. I'm not trying to be grandiose, but I'm here to serve. I'm here to help people, and I'm constantly questioning, am I doing a good enough job, or am I fucking it up? That it's going to come out later on that she's a phony and she don't really know her shit, right? So that fear hits me all the time, and I have to, like, remember the literature and remember, like, what this program has brought to me. You know, when going through the steps, I remember coming in and it's like, man, I want 10 years clean. I want to have, like, memories. I want to be able to say, remember that time? Remember the grapevine? Remember that, right? You dropped the coffee or soda or something, and I was like, I ain't been to that. Right, remember that? Right? I just, look, these knees don't work no more, okay? But I wanted to be able to say that stuff. And the only way, they were like, well, stay clean. Like, you can have that. It is there for you, right? And I didn't ever recognize that it was always an option. And now that I'm able to see the areas where I went wrong in my life, like, I'm working really hard, like, not to make the same mistakes. You know what I mean? Not that I don't have to go back into the dysfunctional relationship. I don't have to stay at the hostile work environment. You know, I don't have to put up with things that are going to lead me to repress my emotions that are going to make me want to get high again. Like, I can talk with people, and I can explore opportunities in many of the women in my sponsorship family work in this field. So I got like professional sponsorship and, you know, recovery sponsorship, like all rolled up into one. Yeah, so like just for today, I'm so excited to be here. I can't even think straight. I had my friend read me just for today, and while I'm driving, and consequently missed my turn. But she's like giving all this commentary, like, ain't that the truth, right? And I'm like, just read it. So that's what's playing back in my head is all her commentary, you know. But what she recognizes that, like, I am different, and this person knew me before I even had kids. She knew me before, since I was 18. Just be coming up on 40 damn years, right? Nearly. Like, I'm 50-something. But, you know, but she saw me through all of these different stages in my life, and she was like, you have changed. I can see the light in you. And I'm just like, fix your glasses. Like, are you talking about me? Like, for really, you talking about me? And, you know, but the honest truth is, yeah, like, I put in the work. I put in the work to stay here, to be here. My bad decisions got me here. My best thinking was, so I had a slip and fall. This is not like an excuse for getting high, but this was my experience. I had a slip and fall. The doctor gave me opiates for the pain. That's not my date. Is that right? So I was like, I know how to stay awake. I'm just smoking crack. I'm a genius, right? So that's what I did for the next 10 years and ended up right here. And it was like, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. The best part of it is that it got me here. Like, I got to find a way out and develop a relationship with the God of my understanding. You know, I don't have to think beyond this moment. And literature tells us, you know, break it down. Like, if it's just for an hour or a minute, or we can just look at just this moment. Because sometimes the whole day is too much to go through. It's too much to even think about. Going to work, like, I get there and, like, these bitches, right? And I'm like, you know what? I had to be here till 4:30. Let me have a cup of coffee. And this program has taught me, like, I can start my day again. I need to say a serenity prayer and step aside, come out of myself, and start again. I don't have to suffer, you know, and the pain is inevitable. Suffering is optional. I can choose to suffer, or I can choose to change my perspective and embrace what's coming to me. Because you know what? There's nothing that I'm facing that I wasn't prepared for in some way. I have resources. Even if I don't know what to do, I can call somebody. I call anybody, and it doesn't matter how much clean time they have. Like, clean time is, I don't want to say it's an illusion because it matters, because I'm not giving up none of mine. Like you might, what's the word I used to say? If you don't have more clean time than me, you're not going to get more clean time than me, because I'm not going anywhere. But the truth is, if you got up earlier than me, then you have more clean time than me, because all I have is this moment. Right, every moment, if I think about it and break it down, it's an eternity within itself. Once I had this neighbor, she's getting her front yard repaved with bricks, the walkway, and the guy, the mason, just sat there and he put down the mortar and he put a brick in place, and then he slapped mortar on the next brick and put that one in place, and then he slapped mortar on the next brick and he put that in place and he tapped them, and then he scooted back a little bit. And he did the same thing again and again. And I sat there and watched him for probably about an hour. And then I realized, like, half the shit was done. Right? It's halfway done. It just, he didn't worry about what the last brick was going to look like or where it was going to be laid. And he didn't concern himself with what the first three bricks looked like and how they were laid. He focused on the brick that was right in front of him at that moment. And that's what just for today is for me. Like, just for today and... what can we do? What can I do? Chapter 5 of the basic text are the two, that those chapters give you the meat of how to live this program. What can I do? Walks you through what you just, what can I do? Live just for today. Like, that is pretty much the message right there. Being able to wake up not wanting to die is the biggest reward. Like, I, you know, then the, like, the, you know, the alarm going off, or the, like, oh, I'm running late kind of stuff will hit me, and what do I have to do today, and I got to make a phone call, and I got this appointment. Like, all of that hits me second, but I remember very clearly what it felt like to wake up wanting to die, wishing I was there, wondering why that was I even awakened today. So I can go do this shit all over again? Like, really, God? So when I came in, I had a resentment. But like through step work, particularly in the fourth step, going from the second step, I define the God of my understanding. First step, I recognize this shit ain't working the way I'm doing it. I need to do something different. Second step is I define my relationship, how I talk to God, when I talk to God, what God can and can't do, right? The third step, I'm stepping into that trust, and then like, okay, I'm it's like if I think about climbing the tree, right? I pick the tree, I make some efforts to get up there. The third step, I'm sitting on the limb. And the fourth step, I'm stepping out on the branch, right? And I'm gonna see, can this really hold my weight? And for me, God of mine, I mix metaphors all the time, so. But the God of my understanding, like, put me in a hamster ball and just rolled me down the memory lane. And so nothing that I was recalling when I prayed first, nothing that was hitting me was causing me pain. I was able to just recount my experiences and examine my stuff, like, real objectively, not dispassionately, though, because I fucked up. And first step just stripped me of every delusion I thought I had about how I wasn't that bad. I was worse than that bad, right? This first step pulled off all the trimmings, and I'm standing there, like, bare bones, like a house gutted, and I just got the studs and the foundation in place, like, and then the rest of the steps, I began to rebuild that house and put things back together and make space, and now it's clean, and there's no more squalor in my life. Like, emotional squalor is how I was living, and the literature reminds us that relationships can be a very painful area. Yeah. Okay. And some relationships will cause me to, like, pick a sledgehammer to one of them walls, right? But the foundation stands, you know? So I just gotta clean up all the dust, patch the wall, right? And with the fourth step is like, I fix everything up, and then I bring my sponsor in and say, hey, look at what I've done. Here's my stuff. And she's like, well, this ain't level, and you need to paint that wall, and the plumbing's not up to code, you know. And she helps me identify the things that I need to work harder on, and that's kind of pretty much the sixth step, you know. But it also, you know, I can only do what I can do. I've been reading this book, or listening to this book on audio, called The Practicing Mind, but it's the four S's that it talks about is simplify, small, short, and slow. And it may sound like it's an outside, it's not in a literature, of course, but it has all of the NA principles in it. Simple, keep it simple. I don't have to do everything. I just need to focus on doing one thing well. And the one thing that I've managed to do for 15 years and a few months is not use nothing. Just not use, just that one thing is the only thing that I can say on a daily basis I've done correctly. Anything else? yeah, you can grade it. I'm not even worried about it, right? I know I need work on some things, you know, because I'm still subject to cuss somebody out. I'm still subject to invalidate somebody. I'm still subject to act out on any one of my character defects, right? And those shortcomings that come up, like, I'm getting better. I have fewer on a daily basis, but, you know, like, the process of recognizing all of these things, going through the motions, not just going through the motions, but acting out my life, and then, like, regrouping later in the day to look at what could I have done better. And that's like my 10 step inventory, right? I look at what I did today, what I need to fix, what probably admit when I was wrong about something, and I'm wrong kind of frequently, so it's not so hard to say anymore, because it used to be an issue where I wouldn't say that I was wrong. I might say, you were right. But now I can say, I was wrong. I made a mistake, my bad. What can I do to make it right, right? And take ownership for the stuff that I messed up. I don't know. I stay active. This home group that I have now is virtual, and I'll be happy to share the link with anybody if you want it. It's Mondays and Wednesdays at 7 a.m., so it's not for the week. But my job schedule is changing, and I haven't been able to go for the last 2 weeks. But I have another home group, which you may have heard of, which is the Free Park 12 and 12. Also not for the week. That's Saturdays at 9 a.m. And that's a group of old timers. And if that, even virtually, that meeting has like such an atmosphere of recovery. It is rich with maturity and simplicity. Like, they don't even do key tags. They don't do announcements. It's a literature-based meeting. So the 7 a.m. meeting is also literature-based, but we do like round robin, ask some questions out of the basic text and the step working guide. So it could be a lot of fun, some of the answers, plus it's 7 in the morning and we, you know, still kind of giddy from just waking up. But, you know, any one of those groups, either one of those groups has served to feed my spirit since this pandemic started. You know, I don't know, part of what this program has taught me is to not beat myself up. To, you know, I did the best I could with what I had to work with. And it was fucked up because I didn't even realize the riches that I had. I didn't know the resources that were available to me. So I made some pretty poor choices. But they don't define me today, you know. And the energy I use, like I said, we're getting high. I can use the staying clean. Like, instead of trying to ask who's holding, I can say which meeting you go to, you know? Somebody used to say about NA books and the step work and stuff, like, these words don't jam. They hit every time. What meeting you going to? Can I get your number? Like, that same thing. I wasn't one of those ones that come in and now all of a sudden I'm shy. No, I use the same thing because when the dope man comes, I'm like, hey, hello, girl. You know, so now I can do the same thing in recovery, right? Like, I'm gonna let you know who I am. And he said it best, like, I didn't care who knew I was getting high. So when I came in, I didn't care if you know anonymity. I'll keep your anonymity. I ain't got no anonymity, you know, and I ain't got no business. I'm in recovery. It's all fair game. Some things best kept to your sponsor. I never worried about my sponsor telling anything because she has so many sponsees, she can't keep it all straight anywhere. So my fifth step was pretty easy. But, you know, like, you can't half-ass this thing on a daily basis. Like, if you just had to get all the way in. And I'm saying, like, come on in, the water's fine, you know? The water is fine. We may not have created our problems. However, we just came to the point where we decided to get high as a solution. That may not be our fault, but now that we know what the issue is, you know you're an addict. I know I'm an addict. You think for me. I need to act accordingly. There was one time my mother asked me, exactly what was it that made you decide to smoke crack? I want to say you. It was because of you. You know what I mean? You always telling me that I'm never going to be nothing. I look just like my father. He wasn't shitting. He ain't going to be shitting. You know, all of that, years and years and years. When I got away from her and got into the drugs, I'm no longer feeling inadequate. I'm no longer feeling less than. I am crazy, sexy, cool. I am the master of my destiny.
Get it.
Because I'm right, because I'm high. Yeah, now, it's like, I don't have to, the program kicked in when she asked me that. And I was able to say, well, Mom, you know, it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter how I became an addict. What's important is that I know that I am and that I act accordingly. But I was busted out because I had done my nice step. Right? I had done my work. And I'm like, how am I feeling all jacked up again? Someone reminded me that, or they informed me at the time, that the feelings come back. You know, just because you did the work, you might, and there's things in life, we do everything right. You're fine. We do everything that we're supposed to do and shit still don't work out, right? And it's not that the steps didn't work. The steps kept me from going out and using behind that feeling, right? And I'm able to come here and tell y'all, I was able to kick some program to her and tell her, you know, like, it's, I don't have to blame her. It, I know in my heart, like, she asked me because she knows it was her fault. Uh-huh. She knows she did. Somebody is saying, do you think she didn't understand? She knows she did, right? But I don't have to play the blame game today because now I'm responsible. She may have been, I may try to hold her responsible for me getting high, but I gotta hold me responsible for staying clean. You know what I mean? This is my job. And nobody hold a gun in my head and make me get high. And it ain't nobody big and bad like that to make me get high today. So I'm going to do what I need to do to work this program. I mean, showing up even late, coming in this, I made about 3-4 U-turns, right? Missed the exit twice. It's ugly. I drove past the lodge 3 times before I realized I had to go a little further down the road. I was damn if I wasn't going to be here, though, right? So, yeah. And because, you know, what have I done to get high? Right? Would I not do at least that much to stay clean? And I got high every day. So I'm going to have to stay clean every day. I can't work a partial program. You know what I mean? And this is not, it's not like, I don't know. It's not inside, outside. You're either in or you out. You know, but you don't have to be out. That's the thing. Like, I didn't know I had to, my mother is telling me, get out. You don't need to be here. You don't belong. So I went through my life feeling like that. But when my sponsor lives closer to my other sponsee sisters, and like I look on Facebook and this bitch has been gone for ice cream without me, right? But I'm in Butler and they're in Pittsburgh. So there's not much opportunity to spontaneity, right? So, right? Hey, honey, they left me out. So when I talked to her and I told her, like, you know, sometimes I feel like I don't belong to you. Like, you do. And she told me to read our symbols. Where it reminds me that there is room inside this temple for every manifestation that's covered at it. You know, even if I don't feel like I belong. And I stay, like, inside the circle. Think about our symbol. I stay inside the circle so I don't fall off the square, right? I mean, even if I get knocked off my square, I will stay in the circle. And I'll stay in the middle, surround myself with people who are like-minded, who are willing to support me in my recovery, who have same drive and passion. And it doesn't matter, like clean time, like I said, it's a thing, but it's not really a thing. Like the person who just used last night is a good message for me, because I don't want to have to fight that demon, white knuckle it, or rattle the cage, that monkey. He go from Chim Chim to Mighty Joe Young real quick, you know? Last thing I'm gonna share is like, the sanity of being in this program is like this. I had a sponsee who was like telling me, you know, I think I'm just gonna smoke weed. And I'm like, why? She's like, well, I can come back to NA later. And I was like, this other one, break it down for me. You're gonna smoke weed, you're gonna get to the drug of choice, and then what? She's like, well, then I'll probably like sell my stuff and get a hotel room and live out the hotel. Okay. And then what? And we went through the hall because I said, if you can give me a good answer, I'll give you $20, get you started, right? And so we went all the way through, and then what? And then what? And then what? And I'm like, you know, but if you want to end up back in NA anyway, why not just stay? And she's like, I'll just come back when it gets too bad. It just don't go nowhere. It don't have to get that bad. One of the questions in the basic text asked, like, were you bad? Was your addiction bad enough? Like, cause I said, I compare your message. And do I have a good message? Oh my gosh, this one guy at the Butler retreat. I really am gonna stop talking. At the Butler retreat, he comes out with his books and his leather bag and his NA stuff, and he's all energetic and jumping around the stage. And I just got up there and like made everybody cry. But I wanted to compare my message to his message, and you know what? Because the disease wants to tell me my story don't matter. The disease wants to tell me that my shit wasn't bad enough. It wasn't that bad. You didn't go through that much stuff. You didn't get raped. You didn't get beat up. You didn't get tied to a tree and left for dead. But that's somebody else's story that I know. That's her story and not mine. And I'm like, how'd that happen? You know, but I wouldn't have bounced back from that. And she could. You know what I mean? And so my story is just as significant. It didn't have to be as bad as hers. It was bad enough. Because I, you know, I was estranged from my family. I abandoned my kids. You know, and that's a hurtful thing. I'm still building those relationships back. Right? I felt like my body betrayed me by being attracted. So, look, I fixed that. But no, seriously though. You know, I had like a lot of resentments, a lot of anger and fear and hurt toward, oh my God, here's my heart. I had a lot of emotions that were, that I could have just wallowed in and stayed high. But this program removed all my excuses. Like, I might have some reasons, I got no excuse, right? So, you know, I only had to do this until midnight. And then, like, I'll be asleep before then, so that's a good bet. And then when I get up tomorrow, I just do this again, and just won't use one day at a time. That's about all I have. Thanks for letting me share.
Okay. I'd like to thank the speakers for sharing their experience, strength, and hope with us. Could we have the reading just for today?
Chandler Attic.
Chandler.
Tell yourself, just for today, my thoughts will be on my recovery, living and enjoying life without the use of drugs. Just for today, I'll have faith in someone in NA who believes in me and wants to help me in my recovery. Just for today, I'll have a program. I will try to follow it to the best of my ability. Just for today, through NA, I will try to get a better perspective on my life. Just for today, I will be unafraid. My thoughts will be on my new association, people who are not using, and who have found a new way of life. So long as I follow that way, I have nothing to fear.